We're learning a lot of new phrases during this COVID-19 outbreak. Flattening the curve, quantitative easing, social distancing. But have you heard of planetary health? Planetary health is an emerging field connecting human health, civilization, and the natural systems on which they depend. And experts in this field are saying that COVID-19 is a crisis of our own making, that it's our fault. Tony Capon is the director of the Monash Sustainable Development Institute, and he's a planetary health expert. He's been good enough to come on and shed a little more light on this idea for us today. G'day, Tony. How are you?
Oh, good to be with you, Paul.
Let's jump straight in. How are human health, civilization, and natural systems related?
Yeah, well, one thing that we sometimes overlook when we're thinking about human health is the importance of natural systems. When we think about health, we tend to think about doctors and nurses. We think about things we can do to keep ourselves healthy, like eating a healthy diet, getting plenty of exercise. We also think about jobs and social safety nets. But we sometimes overlook that all health on Earth, whether it's people or animals or plants, entirely depends on natural systems. So for the air we breathe, the food we eat, all the other resources we derive from nature. And so it's really, planetary health is really about bringing this back into our thinking about human health and what's ahead for humans on Earth.
All right, can you illustrate for us then how failing to respect planetary health might have led to an outbreak such as COVID-19?
Yes, well, most of these new viruses, whether it's COVID-19 or whether it's SARS, Ebola in Africa, Zika in the Americas, most of these new viruses come from animals. In fact, about three quarters of them actually are animal viruses that, if you like, escaped from the animal hosts and affect humans. And we're learning more about why this happens. And some of it relates to changes in land use, for example, like loss of forests in parts of Africa mean that the animals that depended on those forests have to come closer to humans to get their food, often on the urban fringe, for example. And that's when we get new opportunities for the transmission of these viruses.
Well, that would explain why bats seem to play such a vital role in these viral outbreaks. Is that the reasoning?
Well, that's right. I mean, bats are mammals, and they harbour a lot of viruses. And we often see bats flying around in urban areas in Australia. And bats have been implicated around the world in a range of these infections. Anybody that's a bat handler in Australia is aware that they have to be very careful to protect themselves from these viruses.
Do you think that we'll see more outbreaks like COVID-19 then?
Well, we are seeing more and more. Some of that is because we're getting better at diagnosing them. But there's also concern that we're seeing more and more of these viral outbreaks because of the changes we're making, the loss of forests, the loss of biodiversity, indeed even climate change, which means that the range of animals changes over time and they come into contact with people in different contexts.
So you say climate change moves animals in and out of habitats to different spaces.
That's right. And we've seen this in Asia, in Africa. So climate change affecting the biodiversity in a place. And in fact, of course, we saw this in Australia in a very dramatic way over the summer with the fires, you know, the fires that we had for several months, the air pollution affecting almost half of the Australian population for an extended period, but notably perhaps a billion animals died in those fires. It's a remarkable effect on biodiversity.
Tony, what about the food we eat as part of the natural systems? You indicated that, that food is an integral part of that. We know, of course, that modern agricultural techniques allow us to grow food in virtually nothing. You can grow it in sand with the right artificial elements, in particular superphosphate, of course. Now, the argument from many people within the field of natural health or within your field of study suggest that the problem is that we don't get the transference of basic elements through food like we used to, that they don't simply don't have the wholesomeness that they used to have. Do you agree with that?
Look, I think we do have to be very careful with the food we're eating, whether it's around the nutrient quality of the food, and indeed even the taste of the food. It, you know, I can't remember the last time I had a tasty tomato from a supermarket. You sometimes get them from a farmer's market, but not from the supermarket. So losing nutrient profile, but also losing flavour. Importantly, on the other side, also chemicals in the food system and the toxic pollution from industrialisation getting into the waterways, into the rivers, ultimately into the groundwater, and that coming back up through the roots of the plants. And the impact on health as a result of that.
So how would a practitioner of planetary health see the problem as being resolved? What's the solution?
Well, one of the things that we say is that we need a planetary consciousness. All of us in society need to be thinking about these bigger issues and think about what that means for what we do. We need to be encouraging our governments to get serious about this and thinking very carefully about any land clearing that happens, for example, in New South Wales, in Australia, in other parts of the world. So it's really about thinking ahead, thinking about the consequences for future generations, for the young people now that will live with these decisions in the future.
Nice to have you on, Tony. Thanks for sharing that insight with us.
Pleasure, Paul. Cheers.
Tony Capon, Director of the Monash Sustainable Development Institute.